For those of us learning Avodah Zarah, I should have squeezed in an extra Amid over last week and this week, so that, according to the schedule, we'll finish the fourth parak in Yitzhak Hashem before our summer break. What I'd like to discuss tonight is the controversy that took place about some 20 years ago regarding grapeseed oil. Nothing political, it's a halachic controversy, and I'd like to talk a little about the halachas that have to do with grapeseed oil. The background is that when Pesach comes, the question of what oil to use was, and to a certain degree still is, a controversy, a disagreement among different groups in Klal Yisrael. Once upon a time, we used schmaltz, we used chicken fat for instead of oil. There's still some communities, Hasidic communities, that use chicken fat. There are two problems with that. What's the problem with using chicken fat all the time? What? So there are two problems. One is cholesterol. The other is that you're fleishik all the time. Who wants to be fleishik all the time? Nobody wants to be fleishik. Eat a latke, you become a kugel, you become fleishik. Nobody wants to be fleishik. So in the question of what oil, most of the oils that we use, the canola oil or the corn oil, this is all kidneous. And what has evolved over the last 20 years is basically two mahalchim. You go into a store, you get either cottonseed oil, which is the preference according to most of the yeshivish circles, or walnut oil or some other specialty oil, which is preferred by in a lot of Hasidic circles. Now, for Pesach, I have to explain. When Pesach comes, that's when the availability of some type of oil is important. The tzedadim are that cottonseed oil, it is said, I don't know, I didn't see a tshuva, that the Satmar Rebbe asked it of kidneys. A little hard to understand that cotton seeds were ever edible, but they're seeds. And therefore, the Sachtus, I believe, will not give a hechsher on anything with cottonseed oil for Pesach. What? I'm not familiar. There's a safflower oil, and it's fine. You've seen it over Pesach? Maybe wherever you are, they had it, but I'm not familiar with it. The other choice is walnut oil. Now, the issue with walnut oil is that it's expensive. Well, I don't know if that's more expensive than the cottonseed oil, but it is. Okay. So that's one issue. The other issue is that there are no plants that make walnut oil. There are plants that make different types of oils, and then there are specialty plants that make different types of oil. The specialty plants also make wheat germ oil. And therefore, the machinery has to be kashered from chametz, because we're machmir, at least the chatzilin ain't a ben yaimai. And kashering it is very, very difficult. And it's kosher, it's 100% kosher. It's ain't a ben yaimai, which wasn't asked before Pesach. But as far as the echsherim are concerned, there was this disagreement over whether to use the walnut oil better or the cottonseed oil better. And it was for a long time, you didn't know at Pesach what you were going to get. One year they tried pistachio oil. The different types of oils were available on the market. I think over the last 20 years, it's just fallen into the cottonseed oil, walnut oil, and whatever you use. They're both 100% kosher for Pesach. And the question is, al chumra de Pesach, what somebody wants to use. Kedem came out during the height of this controversy. Kedem came out with grapeseed oil. They invested quite a bit of money and did a run of cottonseed oil, of grapeseed oil that was kosher for Pesach. And there was a tremendous tumult.
What was wrong with that?
I'll explain what the tumult was about. Not about any Pesach issue, but about a kashrus issue on grapeseed oil in general. And at that time, I think it's roughly 20 years ago, the Torah journals carried articles about it, and Lamaisa, they took a hit. Nobody bought it, because Pesach, when you hear rumors, you just go back to what you're familiar with before, and they sold it during the non-Pesach season. Well, no, they couldn't sell the non-Pesach season either, because it was a kashrus issue, and it was never, they never tried again.
By the way, with
With grapeseed oil, yemechatzan and vatzog, there's no question. And thus it would have it worse. So I'd like to tell you what the issue with grapeseed oil is, the halachic issues. Many Hashem allow it. And I'd like to, in 10 minutes, give you just the nutshell, if I can use the expression, of what the controversy is. Now, first of all, to think that the issue is all new, modern times, it's not true. The Shulchan Aruch talks about deriving things from the seeds. And the Shulchan Aruch, in Kuchav Gimel Yadalid, says very simply, Chatzan v'zogim, the husks or the seeds of a grape, Shalevi Kechavim, we're talking about Shalevi Kechavim. Kedem did not use the seeds from their own wine factory because they couldn't. They needed a grapeseed oil refinery. They needed a place that has this type of machinery, and they didn't use their own seeds. They used seeds that came from a non-Jewish wine, and that's what I was talking about here. The question of Yain Nesef. Chatzan v'zog Shalevi Kechavim. The Shulchan Aruch says, "Toichud beis chaydesh asurim b'hanah." Within 12 months, the seeds are aser. La'achiyu beis chaydesh mutar nafilu b'achila. Once 12 months pass, we assume the wine is all gone, and the seed itself, the Shulchan Aruch says clearly, is mutar b'achila. Hanimili on the condition, k'shetimdan b'mayim b'tchila. If it's soaked in water, it's washed. Aval im vayimshtim de mayim etchila aval leitim dan asurin laelam afilu yafshom b'taner. But if it wasn't washed, then even if you dry it in the taner, it's still asur. So the issue is this: on your sheets, it says Shulchan Aruch discusses the two criteria: timdan, washing of the seeds, and yibush, drying of them. So the issue here is this: no one's holding grape seeds in that quantity for 12 months. Where are you going to put them? No, nobody's using them. They use them within 12 months. However, they do soak them in chemicals which cause them to dry. So the first controversy was whether to be makel, if you get the same effect of letting it dry naturally for 12 months by soaking it in these chemicals, is that good enough? That was the issue. At that time, I believe, if I recall correctly, Rav Herschel Schechter wrote a tshuva being makel, and Rav Belsky signed on to it. And the basis of the heter was this idea, that even though Shulchan Aruch says Yud Beis Chaydesh, they relied on getting, it's not the Yud Beis Chaydesh, it's the effect of the Yud Beis Chaydesh. And if they can get it chemically to draw out the moisture, that's good enough. Now, they were makel, the mekilah were makel with that, with a tziruf of a tshuvas chsam sefer. The tshuvas chsam sefer, which is again here on the sheets that I gave out, some sefer uses what I like to call the musk heter. The musk heter is the origin of the shaila of whether things that are chemically changed retain their original halacha. If you take something and in the lab you chemically change it, does it retain its original identity?
Marshmallows.
I don't know about marshmallows, but what? Nutrasweet in a certain degree, yeah. The issue, what? It's part of the argument as to whether gelatin is considered to be a chemical change or just drawing it out. That's part of the argument. The Mekilim held that it is. The issue with the musk is a spice, which Chazal say comes from the blood of a deer. And in the body of the deer, the blood is changed to musk. It's taken from the neck gland of a deer. So Rabbi Yana held that that's a chemical change. It's not blood. It's musk. Musk is mutter. The Rosh, other Mishaitim, disagreed with that heter. They said, well, something that comes from something, treif is treif. Hadai lidin atame tame. And hayayitzim atame tame. So this is an old disagreement. And the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Reish Tezayin brings both opinions of Magen Avraham, the Mishnah Berurah. But the blood is still treif, right? The blood of a kosher animal is treif.
Yes.
So as far as if you looked at the masnada's blood, it would be kosher. If you look at his blood. Now, the Chasam Sofer, which is quoted in Pesachei Tshuva Yud here, and is quoted again here, is matir this oil because he holds that you have the musk heter, the heter that it changed, and once it changed, so it becomes mutter and there's no issue. The issue of meat and honey. The bees and honey is not bees. Chazal recognized bees don't produce honey. The bees, it's interesting, Chazal realized it's not an excretion of the bee. The bee takes the pollen from the flower and changes it to honey. It's not an excretion. But Chazal talk about the fact that if you leave meat soaking in honey, it turns into honey. Honey has a nature of dissolving things and turning it, and you're right. That's one of the examples that they discuss. So the Matirin said that we have here two tzerufim to be mekel. The fact that this chemical drying should be adequate to satisfy the Shulchan Aruch, and the seeds are totally mutter, and we have the Chasam Sofer's heter, which is that the oil is not wine, and therefore it's not an issue. It's interesting, the way they bring it on these sheets is the Chalkas Yaakov offers yet another reason to permit it, but his reason is really a steer to the Chasam Sofer. They're not two reasons. Now, Chasam Sofer says the oil comes from wine, it changes into oil and it's mutter. Chalkas Yaakov says fakert. He says oil has nothing to do with the wine. Wine is wine and oil is oil. And what does one thing have to do with the other? The oil is mutter. Chazal never asked in oil, they asked in wine. So the Chalkas Yaakov, to say it's an other heter, is not really accurate. You can have it one way or the other, you can't have it both ways. So this is a sort of a third argument. So these arguments are either that it's dried in its mutter because of Shulchan Aruch, or it changed the musk heter, or there's not wine bechlal, it's only oil. The problem that the Oisrim had with this is that that's all fine and well if the story is the way I told it to you till now. There's an issue which they bring in the second paragraph, and that is, let's say the oil is not wine. The oil is oil. But these seeds are sitting, soaking in wine for more than 24 hours. That's kavush. So even though they're not wine, or they're wine that turned into oil, and they're not wine. But a blia of wine goes into the oil, kavush kamavushal. The blia goes in. And therefore, it's usur, not because it is wine, but because it has a blia of wine that's awesome. That's one taina. The other taina is that when they soak it in the chemical, it has a chaim klirishin, it's hot. And that hot wash, again, has bleas of wine that go into the seed and trafe it up. It's takatruth, the Chas Yaakov said, but what does it do for you? It's got bleas of trafe that are in it, and since there are bleas of trafe that are in it, it should be also. That was the Tam HaEisrim, plus the fact that it's not Pasha, we pass in Musk is Mutter. A food that's Beleia is not Nais Nafgan. Radicalia is Beleia is Nais Nafgan. So this creates the problem.
It's really the same thing as the wine valve. They wet the wine valve, they then char the wine valve.
It's not the same as the barrel, because once food is Beleia, it's different than barrels. It's like the what they call the Weinstein. You know, it says in parentheses Weinstein. I don't think anybody knows what it means. We'll talk about this. A big Weinstein. The name Weinstein comes from a certain product that comes from wine, which we'll discuss a different week. But what's again here, this is the controversy. Now, there's an argument back. On Kavush, the argument back is that when the seed is soaking in the wine, it may not have a din of wine yet. Because remember, the wine has the gas on top where it gets pressed, and then it runs down into the bar. And while it's in the original place where it's sitting, it may not have a din of yain. It depends on the rules of hamshacha. It's a little too complicated for me to go into at the moment. The argument is it's not wine in the first place at the time of soaking. And as far as the cooking is concerned, I'm told, it's been printed, that they arranged for the for the when they do a kosher run, that the cooking is done less than yatzer lettuce by impeishrim. So that therefore the grapeseed oil does not be leya through heat. This is the argument. And kavush, they're arguing that it's not kavush at that point. It doesn't have a dinyan. It becomes yayin by amshacha when you draw out some water. The wine, that's not so poshut, because in the truck they draw out a sample of wine, and just that sample that they draw out from the truck may itself be hamshacha, and that's a separate issue unto itself. The bottom line, I'm trying to be as simple as I could, is the Mekilim have these three arguments, that it's soaked and dried, that you have the muskater, or the Chalkis Yaakov, that you don't need the muskater. The Eistrim Taina, two things, that first of all, may have Lias, in the case of Tzasser, and secondly, the muskater, not everyone paskins that musk is mutter. The Samsefer himself, in his tshuva, says it's totally in the machlekes, in the Sivis and the Chalkis Yaakov. So the het is not so clear. The bottom line is, for me and you, is that if you have a grapeseed factory, you have what to rely on and sell it as kosher. But if you're a consumer, very little incentive to buy grapeseed oil. You can buy other oils. There's no real reason to buy dafka grapeseed oil. But since it involves a controversy, it's not, to me, it's not something kedai to do. So this is the grapeseed story for tonight. Good Shabbos to everybody.